Well, the budget marks the informal start of this election campaign. Voters are being asked to take the coalition on trust when it comes to delivering tax cuts and fixing the nation's finances. Our political editor, Alison Carabine, has been looking at this economic document through a political lens. Alison, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
So the government's come up with a plan for the next 10 years, as Michael was telling us, tax cuts for all, the elimination of government debt, the budget back in surplus. But this budget, Ali, has really been crafted with the next 6 weeks and one goal in mind, to win the election. Will it be enough, do you think, to convince the voters that this government deserves another term?
Well, as a political document, it is a clever budget, Fran, because it targets middle Australia, the swing voters who always decide elections. First of all, to the tax cuts. The first round of them, due to come in July 1, are aimed at people earning between $40,000 and $90,000 a year. Now, that's a key demographic for both of the major political parties. Then there's the $100 billion infrastructure spend, which includes the $4 billion urban congestion fund to try and unclog all of those crowded roads and rail networks in the regions and the outer suburbs. And that's where you find most of the marginal seats. We don't have all the detail yet exactly how that money will be spent. And it's a lot of cash to be splashed during the election campaign. The specific announcements will be left to the campaign in the lead up to the May election as the battle for each and every seat hots up. Also hidden away in the budget, another $3.2 billion in measures yet to be announced. We're not going to have to wait too long to find out how that money will be spent. So essentially,
presumably that's an election treasure trove.
Of course it is. The coalition heads into that election cashed up. It's now part of political convention, Fran, as you're very well aware, that governments very rarely receive a bounce for their budgets. But this should at least give the coalition a launch for the election campaign, something to talk about at least at the start of the campaign.
And it gives them a point of difference, they would say, with Labor, which delivered in government deficits. Here they are promising to deliver surpluses now. The government's running heavily on the issue of trust. Who do you trust to manage the economy? Who do you trust to keep taxes low, carry out budget repair? But Ali, given the turmoil in the coalition over the last few years, which has really eroded confidence in the government, is displayed in the polls for, you know, months on end, years on end. How hard is it going to be for the coalition to prosecute that line?
Well, I think it's going to be very, very difficult, Fran. The government suffers a self-inflicted trust deficit. Three prime ministers in 6 years will do that to any government. And then should voters trust the government when it says it can deliver, for example, another $158 billion in tax cuts in 10 years' time, over a decade?
Because don't we remember this government trashing Labor's 10-year tax plan when Labor was last in government?
Yeah, because no one knows, as Michael's just pointed out, exactly how the budget health will be to deliver such largesse to voters. Nonetheless, Matthias Cormann, he was doing his best last night to channel John Howard, who successfully ran the Who Do You Trust line back in 2004.
Who do I trust to deliver income tax relief to hardworking families? A Liberal national government, which has legislated $144 billion worth of income tax relief before. Do they trust us, who've done it before, to do it should we be successful at the next election? Or would they trust somebody who has a demonstrated track record of pushing higher taxes to chase ever higher levels of expenditure?
And the other problem, I think, for the government, Fran, is that so much of what is being promised is off in the never-never. The bulk of the tax cuts don't kick in till 2024. That's five whole budgets away. As for the surplus, it's not locked in. It's just a forecast of a surplus. We've been here before with the Labor government after the GFC, promising but never actually landing a surplus. And for the shadow finance minister, Jim Chalmers, next year's $7 billion surplus is based on both dodgy accounting and also heroic assumptions.
The projected surplus comes from making people with a disability wait longer for the services that they were promised. That is a concern. It's also based on the usual heroic assumption about wages growth, which haven't eventuated over the last handful of budgets. The government is notorious for overestimating wages growth. Wages growth, as you know, has been stagnant.
And one other point, Fran, voters may view all of this with a fair dollop of cynicism. There's an election around the corner. The government is in trouble. Now it's trying to buy votes. It could look a bit desperate.
Just briefly, Labor's going to support the first round of these tax cuts due July 1 for the low and middle income earners. Why wouldn't they? They basically match what Labor was promising. But do you think Bill Shorten will go further when he gives his budget reply tomorrow night?
Oh, look, I suspect there will be something tomorrow evening for low income earners in particular. Fran, Labor has more money to play with given the revenue it will garner for its reforms to negative gearing and so forth. The first phase of the tax cuts announced last night, they will be supported by Labor. It matches and slightly exceeds the tax cut that Labor itself has promised. So Bill Shorten will want a point of difference with Scott Morrison. He may very well up the government's offer.
All right, Alison, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Our political editor, Alison Carabine. And coming up after the news, we'll be joined by Prime Minister Scott Morrison. And after 7:30, Shadow Treasurer Chris Bowen. It's 23 past 6 on Breakfast.